Binge the full week of The Ray Taylor Show ad-free over at inspireddisorder.com/plus.
This is The Ray Taylor Show.
Swipe Up, episode 225, the podcast where I share my unfiltered thoughts on the latest news and entertainment updates. I'm your host, Ray Taylor, and every Thursday I'll be bringing you a fresh perspective on a variety of topics. In this episode, I am going to be talking about the Netflix Squid Game reality series that is apparently disastrous. I'm also going to be talking about a local theater, the Tristone Cinema 10 in Palm Desert, closing. And I'm also going to be talking about someone you may have heard of, Mr. Beast, curing 1,000 people's blindness. So those are the stories I will be talking about. Let's get it started, shall we? With the first story, Netflix Squid Game reality show was reportedly an inhuman disaster. The idea that Netflix decided to produce a reality show based on the show, the successful show, South Korean show Squid Game, is insane. It is completely tone deaf to think that that would be a good idea on its own, aside from any disastrous stories related to the actual production of this reality TV show. So on its face, already making a horrible decision. That is not the thing that should be taken away from the show Squid Game, is that we should actually make a competition like Squid Game. Although, they did. And apparently, it has gone horrible. There have been horrible stories. So Netflix is creating a reality spinoff of its 2021 drama Squid Game, and it's going to be called Squid Game The Challenge. The challenge features 456 participants, so I think it's the same amount of people that were part of the Squid Game in the show. The prize money is going to be $4.56 million, which the currency is different. Same amount. The show currency was won, which I think translated, I forget how that broke down. I did an episode-by-episode recap where I broke down the exchange rate, so I don't remember where that went. But this one, the prize, which is a lot of money. Usually, like, reality competition shows, you win, like, $50,000, $100,000, maybe $1 million. But over $4.5 million prize is kind of crazy. Participants in the 10-episode series were reportedly facing freezing temperatures, fatigue, and unsafe filming conditions. According to reports, at least 10 contestants collapsed during the first day of filming, and medics were called to set repeatedly. So you think there would have been some kind of thought to make sure they were taking proper safety precautions with these things? Even though I know shows like the show Fear Factor, like, there's only so much precautions they can take. Like, that was a show, Fear Factor, where things could have been gone horribly wrong. Like, using live bulls in times where, like, if a contestant got kicked in the head by a bull, they could easily be killed or receive permanent brain damage. And things could have gotten ugly on shows like that. And I believe they were able to avoid a lot of that stuff. But none of that stuff is guaranteed. But scenes like this, like freezing temperatures and those types of things, is kind of crazy. Contestants have claimed that the game was rigged and that a few influencer participants were pre-selected to move on to new rounds regardless of their results, which that's kind of crazy. I mean, reality shows in general are mostly scripted, but I don't believe the competition shows necessarily are, you know, other than like how they choose to edit and in the editing are able to kind of fabricate narratives and stories and make people look better or worse. But as far as pre-selecting who would move forward, I mean, it would make sense that they would choose, like, influencers, people who had a big audience, in order to kind of keep that audience invested in the show. The longer they go, the longer they may stay with the show. But just kind of like to, one, makes unsafe conditions, and then two, to rig the show. Because if that got, if either of those got out, bad publicity is not something that really helps people these days. We're in a time where no news is sometimes better than bad news. Considering, you know, in show business these days, having a negative perception of a person or a thing can really hurt it, because we are so connected, and you can really form movements to kind of band together and to protest against something or to boycott a thing. So yeah, interesting. Netflix allegedly booked return flights for international contestants before the games even began, and these flights later turned out to occur after their eliminations. That's interesting. One contestant referred to the set as a quote-unquote war zone, which that kind of, I mean, that if you've seen Squid Game, you know, there's obviously they're not actually shooting people on this show like in Squid Game, but, you know, I would imagine, especially like the first game in Squid Game where they play red light, green light, and you got a bunch of people in like this giant space and sniper rifles lining the walls, and people eliminated would be shot, kind of war zone-ish. But to have a set referred to as a war zone versus a set being the feeling of participating in a thing being compared to that are two different things. But they only say the set, they referred to the set. It's interesting. I want to know the context of that a little bit more, I guess. Another anonymous contestant stated that they were treated as extras in a TV show and not as contestants in a game show, which would lead to and kind of give more support to the idea that the show is rigged. If they knew who they wanted to move forward, then a lot of the 465 participants could easily be treated like they are just, you know, fodder for the show or background actors. Injuries were reported shortly after filming began. Okay. I mean, I'm sure if you have a physical type of a show, injuries can definitely happen. The original Squid Game series was praised as one of the most exciting series of Netflix, series to hit Netflix in some time, which I agree. I love the Netflix show Squid Game. I did an episode-by-episode breakdown of the show, which was very difficult because it is a Korean show and I do not speak Korean. I probably destroyed a lot of the names of the characters, but it is a show that I loved. It is a show that I'm excited for the sequel. And aside from the novelty of this spinoff show, everything else related to this spinoff reality version of the Squid Game games, it just is a bad idea. It's on its face, and the initial announcement of it seemed like a bad idea. Now that we're hearing, I mean, who knows how valid these accounts are? Sometimes people lie if they feel a certain way. But it makes me definitely more interested. It's weird how the drama of the making of the show, if it actually does come out, to see what the reality, see how it's actually put together, it only makes me more intrigued. And sadly, it really just makes me more intrigued in some ways just to check it out. I don't know if it's a show that I would necessarily stay. There's another show on Netflix, a competition show in Korea that a lot of the contestants, it's called Physique, I think. And there's 100 contestants, like all kinds of athletes from different disciplines, mostly from Korea, but there's, you know, a few people from different races, but they all kind of like there's this tall white guy who plays baseball in Korea from America. There's a black dude who is, I don't know if he's a gymnast or in some way, but they all kind of are from South Korea. And their competitions that they do are in some ways similar to Squid Game, even so much as the contestants in this show, Physique, compare it to Squid Game, compares some of the competitions. I've only seen a couple episodes. And that's interesting. But it's not this show, so I don't know, man. And it would be. It's also interesting that Netflix is putting out a Korean reality competition show that is so similar to, in many ways, to this fictional show Squid Game that is going to be a reality competition show. It's weird that they would put out a show that is literally compared to Squid Game by the contestants. It's kind of weird. It's almost like they're putting out competing reality competition shows, which is weird, but who knows. I don't know. It's a bummer that they decided to produce this show. It's even more of a bummer that it is, these stories are coming out of people, the horrible conditions. And if it is true that they are rigging it, it's like bummer after bummer. I would be curious to know what production company is producing it. Because it is, I mean, it's going to Netflix, but I don't know if it's Netflix that is producing the show, right? Like a company who produces the show could have sold this idea to Netflix. I don't know those details, but what was a bad idea from the start seems like it's only continuing to be a bad idea, and hopefully doesn't tarnish the brand and the name of the show, because I am looking forward to and excited to watch season 2 of Squid Game whenever that comes out, because that is a show that was super unique, so good, and definitely left it open for more story to be told. So I just hope that this experiment, this spinoff, doesn't tarnish the original show. And if it does, I feel bad for the creator of Squid Game, that like I have to imagine he has to be getting like money for them using Squid Game, the name. Unless he sold the ownership of the name, which would be sad, that if this guy that created Squid Game is now having his thing kind of dragged through the mud, as it were. I don't know. A lot of kind of open-ended questions, but these are the only updates of this show, that it's actually being filmed. It'll be interesting to see if it ever comes out, and to see how it plays out, see if you can see how horrible it is. I remember I read a little bit of like one of the things where they were playing they play the red light, green light game, and apparently the contestants wore squibs, the things that movies do that make it appear like they're getting shot. So it seemed like the production of this reality show is to also make it simulate what happened to the contestants in the Squid Game fictional show, right? Where when you're eliminated, you like these squibs go off to make it look like you're shot, which I've heard those hurt. And I've heard that the temperatures during playing this and how difficult it is to stay still when you're shivering because it's so cold, that a lot of people were eliminated just because it was so cold and they couldn't keep their body from involuntarily shaking and shivering, which is a bummer. which I guess they filmed it in the UK, which obviously the UK not really known for its warm, comfortable climates. Let's take a quick break from this episode because I want to talk about, are you looking for the perfect gift for that art lover in your life? Look no further than inspiredisorder.com. Our gift cards can be used to purchase original artwork from The Many Faces, a collection of over 2,000 original abstract ink portraits. These one-of-a-kind pieces make for a truly unique and meaningful gift. But that's not all. Our gift cards can also be used to purchase high-quality prints and t-shirts featuring these amazing paintings. Plus, if the recipient is a fan of The Ray Taylor Show, they can use the gift card to purchase merchandise from the show as well. So why wait? Head on over to inspireddisorder.com and purchase a gift card today. Your loved one will be sure to appreciate the thought and creativity behind such a unique gift. Thank you for considering inspireddisorder.com for all of your gift needs. And now, back to the show. But let's move on. Let's move on from Squid Game to a local story. I'm in the Coachella Valley, and one of the older movie theaters that still exists in the valley is closing down, the Tristone Theater that is part of the mall in Palm Desert. The Tristone Cinema 10 is closing its doors on today, I guess, as I'm recording this. So when this episode comes out, last Sunday, which this is a movie theater, 10-screen theater in Palm Desert, which is actually kind of split up. There's an upstairs. It's on the outside of the mall, and it's on the backside of the mall kind of things. Like, there's literally people that didn't even know this theater exists. I remember getting in arguments with locals about this movie theater even existing because it's in the back. It's not really what it's kind of like hidden in a lot of ways. And there's the main kind of lobby, and then there's another entrance like down some stairs for like three smaller theaters. So it's almost like two separate theaters the way it's set up, which is weird. But it's actually the movie theater that I, out of high school, actually in my senior year when I first got hired, was trained at. They were building a brand new theater with stadium seating and everything that, back in 1999 in Rancho Mirage, Rancho 16. So while they were building, completing the construction of that theater and getting everything installed and everything, the employees that were hired to work at that theater were trained at different theaters, and I was trained at this theater, the theater in Palm Desert, which at the time were all owned by the same company, Resort Theaters of America, which I don't think that company exists anymore. But I remember training at this movie theater. I mean, this is a movie theater that I grew up going to a lot of the times. This is a movie theater I saw Jurassic Park, the original Jurassic Park. This is a movie theater I remember seeing Tombstone in the theater. I think I saw Forrest Gump in this theater as well. This is like a theater that I like have memories as a child going to watch these big blockbuster movies, right? And then it's a movie theater out of high school that I started watching in 1999. If you want to know the insanely amazing films that came out in 1999, I started working there just after The Matrix left theaters. But you had the first film of the Star Wars trilogy. Not that that's a great trilogy of films, but at the time was massive news. Big Daddy, I remember, being one of the movies at that theater. But you had movies like The Sixth Sense. You had like Green Mile. You had all kinds of amazing films that came out in that time. And I remember training at that theater and like getting free movies. I remember on like one of, and I got my friends, my best friends got jobs working at this theater and then working at the Rancho 16 when that finally opened, and like working at Rancho 16 when it like the first went to first open its doors. Just, I love that aside from the low pay that you got, one of my favorite jobs. Love movies, got to go see movies for free, got free soda and popcorn. It was by far the best job. I did all of the kind of different things you can do aside from working in the box office. Concession stand, working the floor to clean theaters, cleaning the theater after Toy Story 2 and Toy Story 3 were released were a nightmare. Probably some of the most insane, like, explosions of garbage to ever fill a giant theater. Like, it just, like, close to, like, 20 giant, like, garbage bags full of, like, popcorn and candy and just soda cups. It's just insane how absolutely disgusting humans can be, especially a kid's movie. But, like, got to be a projectionist, right? Got to be a projectionist when Fight Club came out, American Psycho. Like, so many amazing movies came out in those years. But it's this is a theater, and even when I moved back to the Valley, the Cinema 10 is where I went and saw, like, The Lighthouse. It showed a lot more like, not really crowd-pleasing movies. They did more art house and independent-type movies, like a lot of A24 movies would show in there. They did get some bigger movies, but it wasn't not necessarily the same as, like, a big chain theater would show. At the time, currently they're owned by the Palme d'Or theater chain. Or no, it was previously named the Cinema Palme d'Or. Yeah, it's kind of a bummer. Not that surprising, though, because it is one of the older theaters. It doesn't have stadium seating. It doesn't have, like, the theater rooms are kind of small. It is definitely out of the theaters that exist in the Valley. It is, aside from the theater in India, which I loved going to as well, which closed down during the pandemic, despite it being that old school, had old kind of cheap seats, I still loved it. I still loved going there. I don't mind that feel of, like, old, that feeling of nostalgia, these old theaters. But yeah, it's kind of sad that this movie, this theater is closing down. I remember actually, so I was being trained at this theater. One of my best friends was working, and we were closing one night, and it was after Big Daddy, the movie, the Adam Sandler movie, left theaters, and we had a Big Daddy standee, those giant cardboard promotional items you see in movie theater lobbies. Like, they're like 6 feet tall, you know, 5 feet wide, and it's usually like the poster of the movie, right? Really big, made out of cardboard. So my job was to go throw that standee away. But my girlfriend at the time, huge Adam Sandler fan. So what I decided to do was take this thing home, take it actually to her house after work. And I was driving my friend home with me, right? We carpooled there, whatever. We had the same shift. So didn't have any rope. So we were literally on my Honda Accord that I had at the time. We had this giant standee on the roof, and he has his arm out the passenger side, and I have my arm out on the driver's side, driving from the Palm Desert Mall all the way to Bermuda Dunes, which, for those that don't know, it's like, I don't know how long it is, but it's a 15-minute drive. And we were going slow. Thankfully, it was at night. Thankfully, we didn't get pulled over, because we're just holding this thing on the roof of the car as I go take it to her. Of course, she loved it. It took up like a wall of her bedroom. Kind of ridiculous, but I got some good boyfriend points there. But I remember that was kind of a crazy thing to take this standee home sitting on top of the roof. Kind of crazy, but I loved it, man. That was some great years, man. Out of high school, soon living on my own, you know, feeling of independence, getting a paycheck, working at a movie theater where I get to watch every single movie that comes out. They would have employee screenings, so you got to see movies like up to a week before they got released to the public. It was a lot of fun time working in the projection booth. I loved being a projectionist, building up the new prints that would come in on Thursday and then tearing down the movies that would be leaving, listening to music. I read so many books, did a lot of sketching and drawing. It was so much fun. I loved being a projectionist. And then when I moved to San Diego, thought like, oh, I'll get a job working at a theater. No problem. Didn't get any job working at a theater. But, you know, still some people I know are still in the movie theater industry, as it were, despite how it's an industry that even at the time, I remember having meetings with the other projectionists in the Valley and talking about how digital was kind of starting to come in and how that was going to really put a lot of projectionists out of work. Because when you're not working with film anymore and everything's just downloaded and just hit play on a projector, not even don't even have to hit play, it's just all programmed to start when it starts. And you don't need somebody to, like, we dealt with static a lot. And the film, the 35 millimeter film, you know, we have dry air here in the desert. There would be a lot of static, and when it would come off the spool, it would take layers of film and it would get stuck in the thing that fed the film up through and into the projector. And it got, like you see in movies, like you see in, like, I think it was the Gremlins 2, where you see film like stop and like burn through. Like, that shit happened way too often. And you'd be working in the projection booth and just like an alarm would start going off and you'd have to look, you'd have these boards spread around that showed, you know, which projectors were running. And if there was an alarm going off, it would show indicate where, and you just had to book it. And while people are in the theater, have to try and fix this problem, which is a very stressful thing, especially when you're a young kid and you're like, you have bosses that are kind of intimidating and something like that happens, which you can't stop it from happening. It's really hard to prevent. There's only so much you can do. So it was like, not my fault necessarily, but that pressure of trying to fix a horrible issue when you have this boss that runs the theater, like, looking over your shoulder. But thankfully they were pretty good about it. They helped me out. But yeah, kind of crazy, you know. Obviously it's like almost 24 years since I trained at this theater, but it's closing down. Not really surprising that it's closing down, but a shame. It'll be interesting to see if somebody comes in. I mean, malls aren't doing that great anyway. But it'll be interesting to see if somebody comes in and changes that. But I don't see a movie theater. I don't see a movie theater going back there, which is, you know, a bummer. Because it had an energy to it, you know? Let's take a quick break from this episode to talk about, are you a fan of art, movies, and all things entertainment? Then you need to check out youtube.com/inspireddisorder. Our page is jam-packed with all kinds of great content, including making of videos of the many faces, an ongoing art series of abstract ink paintings. But that's not all. We also feature daily episodes from The Ray Taylor Show, a podcast that brings you movie reviews, TV show reviews, episode recaps, opinions on news and entertainment, and much more. There's also a weekly diary and top 5 movie rankings of a variety of categories. And if that wasn't enough, we've also got how-to videos covering all kinds of topics. So why wait? Head on over to youtube.com/inspireddisorder and start exploring the amazing content we have to offer. And now, back to the show. Anyway, let's move on to the final story, the third and final story. Some good news, right? Mr. Beast cures 1,000 people's blindness in a video, right? This guy, most popular YouTube creator on the planet, most followers, makes tons of money, does a lot of videos where he's like giving away tons of money and like crazy things to people who compete. I think he even set up a version of Squid Game before it was picked up as an actual show, right? When the success of Squid Game happened, I think he set up kind of his own version of Squid Game to give away money. But one of his things that he wants to do that he stated is that he wants to give all of his money away before he dies. Like, he doesn't want his money to be passed down to generations, even though he has generational wealth. So he does do good things, which I think some people criticize him for using these good deeds as ways to get good views. There's definitely that is kind of a trend in a lot of social media where people will get popular because they give away money, right? They donate money to just homeless people or somebody that just happens to help them out randomly. They will surprise them with money. And it's a good way to get views. It's definitely heartwarming to see somebody be generous. And they criticize him for doing that, like, which I don't care. Like, as long as he's doing good, like, this is amazing. So apparently, so this YouTube star, Mr. Beast, real name is Jimmy Donaldson, sponsored cataract surgery for 1,000 people who are blind or nearly blind but could not afford the surgery. Mr. Beast's latest video has received over 32 million views as of Sunday afternoon and features before and after footage of the patients after surgery. Mr. Beast worked with Jeff Levinson, an ophthalmologist and surgeon to perform the first round of surgeries in Jacksonville, Florida. Jeff Levinson has coordinated the, quote, gift of sight, end quote, program for over 20 years, which provides free cataract surgery for uninsured patients. Half of all blindness in the world can be cured with a 10-minute surgery, which is cataract removal. Half of the people who are blind or mostly blind is due to cataracts and can be cured with a 10-minute surgery, right? Half of the people can gain their sight back with a short, simple surgery, but we live in a capitalist society, so those people who can't afford it will stay blind, which is insane. So this is great, right? Jeff Levinson was inspired to help people access cataract surgery after undergoing his own cataract correction surgery. Jeff Levinson and Mr. Beast team reached out to homeless shelters and free clinics to create a list of patients in the Jacksonville area who needed surgery. They eventually had a group of 40 patients, and Jeff Levinson performed all of the surgeries in a single day. That's how easy it is. Holy shit. Jeff Levinson connected Mr. Beast's team with See International, a nonprofit that provides free eye care to patients in need. Jeff Levinson hopes the video and Mr. Beast's generosity will inspire a concerted effort to end needless blindness. 100%. It is insane, right? We have these people with exponential amounts of money that they have zero use for and zero need to have, but they hoard it like little spoiled children hoard this money to maintain some status, to maintain their position on some pedestal where so many people think that they are more valuable to humanity because they've won some magical game of monetization. They've collected the most points in the life of living, the game of life, and they are somehow more deserving of the money. Some people think that God is the one that bestowed them because they are such good people that is why they have money. And everybody that's poor is doing so because they are lazy or bad people, which is absolute disgusting and false. So I'm glad that Mr. Beast is doing this shit. When not only Mr. Beast, but you have all of these tech billionaires, right? All of these people who over the past 2 years have doubled their wealth during the worst time in one of the worst times in human history dealing with a pandemic, where so many people are exponentially more worse off than they were 3 years ago. Meanwhile, these people that have zero need for this money, have zero need to be multiple times over billionaires to be hoarding currency, they could effortlessly do something like this. They could effortlessly eradicate blindness in half of the blind people globally if they wanted to, instantly. Wouldn't affect them. Would not have, they wouldn't notice it. Would not notice it. There are so many good things, right? I'm so tired of people saying that, like, all these simps, these billionaire simps, these billionaire bootlickers that are like, oh, Elon Musk is going to save society. How? Doing what? Selling these cars that suck? That he didn't invent. He didn't start Tesla. He just sells Tesla. And by the way, what he's done with Twitter is a pretty good indication of how awful he is. And seeing how that is affecting his stock prices with Tesla, it's just, he is not like this person that people put on a pedestal. He is not somebody that wants to do good for humanity. He's not somebody that's going to take his little simp army with him to Mars if he ever gets there with his little rocket ship company that is funded by the government, right? He's not trying to do anything good for all of these pathetic little simps that suck on his little bootstraps, right? He couldn't care less about those people. He couldn't care less about people. He wants more money, more money. That's all he wants. He wants to stack money after money, which is something that he's never had to consider. He's never in his entire existence as a human being had to consider the cost of a thing, because he comes from money. He comes from parents who owned a gem mine during apartheid in South Africa. This dude has never had to look at the price of a thing and consider what that might mean to his bottom end. He spent $44 billion on a product that is not profitable because he was just, he's got an ego that can barely fit inside of his little Teslas, you know? It's insane. Bezos, all of these people instantly could eradicate just so much suffering in the world effortlessly. It would be such the minuscule fraction of their entire hoarded wealth. But they don't want to do shit. They don't want to do shit. And it kind of sucks that even though Mr. Beast actually kind of doing good, yeah, he profits off of it. Yeah, he's literally making money off of the video that he funded, but fuck it. He did good. It's better than people who are making millions of dollars playing video games, right? At least Mr. Beast is like helping people. Sure, turn philanthropy into entertainment. Fucking do it. Make reality shows about how people go out and make life better for people rather than having reality shows where moms compete with other moms to date younger men who are the sons of their competitors, right? Like, instead of making garbage entertainment like that, make reality shows where you bring people in to do these amazing things for people, where they actually make a positive change in reality. But then you have Mr. Beast, who also is somebody who's a fan, I'm sure, of Elon Musk, who's had conversations with Elon, who's asked to be the CEO of Twitter, which I would assume Mr. Beast would probably do a better job on some level than Elon Musk, because I don't think Elon Musk really cares. I don't think he cares at all. The thing he loves about Twitter is that it's effective at controlling people. It is an information technology, and he wants to control information. He's already used Twitter to manipulate prices of stocks in order to make investments, in order to tank prices so he can get a good deal when he buys it, and then he pumps them up so he can sell it at a high price. Like, he's been doing, there's examples of that all over the place, allegedly, right? So I don't know. Good for Mr. Beast. hopefully he does more like this, right? I'm good with that. Hopefully he doesn't turn into, like, you know, it's one thing to say you want to do good things, right? Just fucking Elon Musk has said a lot of things that he wants to be this good person, that he is doing these good things. He's the Tesla is a car that he believes in because he thinks it's going to make everything safer, despite the fact that the build quality on those cars is garbage, despite the fact that they malfunction seemingly a lot, right? I don't know, but that's good news. I'm glad. It's insane that a procedure that takes 10 minutes can cure blindness in half of the people that are blind. It's insane. It is insane. We live in a time where money is, like, capitalism is so, like, such a broken system, such a garbage system to run civilizations. Right? It is a system that people can manipulate in order to hoard money. It is not a system that benefits people at all. It is a system that only works when people are losing, when the majority of people are losing. And when something like this, a 10-minute procedure, can be done to fix half of the blind people, to restore sight in half of them, it is insanity. So good on Mr. Beast. Hopefully more people do that same thing, right? Instead of just, like, donating to some charity that's really just some tax write-off, and it's like a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of what their net worth is, right? It's some PR thing for them to, like, oh, donate $100 million to charity, blah, 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 that I happen to own, and then I will decide what that money goes. Right? It's just a tax shelter. Right? Actually doing change. Anyway, let's do some shout outs and get out of here, shall we? Shout out to IGN.com. Shout out to NBC Palm Springs. Shout out to Pubity. Most importantly, shout out to you. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Swipe Up. I hope you enjoyed my thoughts and insights on the latest news and entertainment updates. I'll see you next Thursday for more unfiltered opinions and fresh perspectives. New episodes of The Ray Taylor Show come out every single day. Subscribe on YouTube and everywhere our podcasts are found. Binge the full week over at inspireddisorder.com/plus. Buy Ray Taylor Show merch over at inspireddisorder.com. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Peace out!
Today is the day where you wake up and you realize that everything that you've been dreaming about, everything that you've been wanting, every goal and wish and hope that you've ever had can become real. Dreams can come true. What you manifest in your mind, you can bring to reality.